Welcome to episode 40 of the Rex Chapman Show with my super dope homeboy from the L-Town, Josh Hopkins, Billy Joe Hopkins. How are you, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Rex Everett Chapman?
I'm fair to middling.
Yeah, yeah. See you back in Brooklyn.
I'm back in Brooklyn, and I see you're in Austin.
I am. Yeah, but yeah. I leave today. Head back to Lexington for a little bit.
Yeah.
So our next show will be from Lexington.
Yeah, and I might see you back there.
Ooh, that'd be great to do the same location show. Those are always fun.
That is fun. Have you read anything recently? What do you got? We like to talk about things that we've read. What have you read recently, Josh?
Well, for book club this week, I haven't read. So anything for you?
Well, CNN Plus is no longer. I've had some time. Just haven't. I did a lot of sleeping, so I haven't read anything.
Okay, that's been book club. Yeah. Well, interesting.
Episode 40, Josh. This is episode 40.
How about that? 40, getting up there.
Uh-huh. The Walter McCarty episode. Our
nicely done, Walter.
Uh-huh. Who else? Do you know any other 40s?
Well, Kentucky-wise, you got Larry Conley.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Troy McKinley.
Troy McKinley. Good pull. Good pull.
Jules Kamara, and I know what you're going to say. Yes, he was.
Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Well, maybe somebody said that to us before we came on, but I don't know. And I wasn't old enough to really remember him playing football.
Neither. But then I saw Brian's song.
Maybe that's it.
Song was it. You know, it was a made-for-TV movie, and it still has the greatest theme of all songs. You hear that Brian song theme and you just want to cry.
Yeah, I know.
Fantastic.
Well, let's talk a little bit of hoops before we get into our episode 40 guest. The Nets are kaput. The Nets are out.
Not just out, swept.
They're swept. The Sixers are now in a dogfight with the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. And Miami looks pretty solid. In the East, Milwaukee's looking nice. My Phoenix Suns are in a dogfight. Devin Hurd has pulled his hamstring.
Series
is 2-2, and Game 5 goes back to Phoenix. He's
officially been ruled out for the game.
I think so. You know, the way those things work, well, maybe for the game. I know how they said initially he's out for the series, which, you know, that's a little bit of gamesmanship because you can always come back. You know, you can always come back and play early.
It would be a big advantage for them to be able to win this series and keep him out the whole time.
Oh, no question. Yeah, I think that's the best, probably the best tack to take, I would think, because for Phoenix to go further, got to have Dev. He's the best player.
Yeah.
So that's been tough to watch, but a great playoff so far, right?
Yeah, it has been. And it's just fun to – playoffs come, the intensity comes up, and there's chirping, and that's fun.
The Pelicans are playing great. I love to see them playing well. My buddy Dave Griffin, Aaron Nelson, who's the trainer there, longtime friend. Brandon Ingram is a problem. CJ McCollum is a problem. Their rookies are playing great. They've been fun to watch. The Dallas Mavericks are up 3-2 over the Jazz.
Luka.
That's a great – Luka, amazing. But, you know, not only Luka, you take like – they made a trade midseason, shipped Porzingis out. They got back Spencer Dinwiddie, who's been fantastic. Mm. And then there's Jalen Brunson, who's playing his ass off. Just a fun team to watch. That's a fun series. I kind of hope Utah wins game 6 and we see a game 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That would be fun, yeah. Spider-Man Mitchell, he got hurt.
Yeah, Spider. Well, you know,
right at the end,
he set his hamstring, and they were up. They were down 30 or whatever.
Yeah, I know. And there was like 3 minutes left.
I know. After the game, he said that I'll play in Game 6. So I'm hoping maybe it's more of a cramp hammy thing,
right?
Which can still cause problems. But It didn't
it's not like a grade two tear, like, you know, Booker right. or whatever.
Right? I hope.
Yeah, so that'll I hope be, so too.
It'll be vital for them, but that's been a fun series. You want to get into our guest?
I'm excited to.
Me too. We have a three-time NBA champ, 1994 All-Star, 13-year NBA point guard, Wasserman Executive Vice President, Pushing Through Podcast, NBA analyst, and contributor for Sky Sports. We have my guy from the University of Iowa, Benjamin Roy Armstrong.
Man. Oh, you know what? You know what? You forgot one thing.
What
friend of Rex Chapman, you know, and fan of Rex Chapman. You forgot that, you know. I'm a fan, you know. Thank you, man. I'm so happy for you, and our relationship go back. I don't know. I'm old, you know. You're still young, but I'm old, and our relationship goes back so far. I'm so happy for you, and we've been. You and I were, I can't even remember. I remember we were roommates.
We were roommates.
Roommates for some event. And
we went to, it was the Olympics.
Yeah,
and
or something.
You and I were a couple of the last cuts, and we were roommates over in Europe.
Yeah,
for like a month.
I remember we were somewhere. So it seemed like I've been knowing you forever. And here we are, 30, 40 years later doing a podcast. I don't even know what we're doing, but man, it's great to see you. And
you too,
you're doing
bro.
Such a wonderful job, and your next career, is that what you want to call it now? Whatever it is, but you're still smiling, you're still laughing. So I saw the podcast 40 years ago. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, back then if you all knew you'd be doing 30 years, 40 years of podcast.
Well, Rex
fishing,
always
something
had
about fishing.
Yeah, he always had a sense of humor. You know what? I can tell you that Rex always had a sense of humor, and so I'm glad you're sharing that with the world.
Thanks, bro. We would be on top of the world if we'd have started that podcast back then.
Yeah.
Man, we'd have been really, really something.
Yeah.
Hey, BJ, you grew up in Detroit, a diehard Pistons fan, Tigers, Red Wings fan. What is it about rooting for those teams? And did the Bad Boy Pistons really represent the city the way that you feel like it should have been represented?
Oh, Rex, man, you're asking questions dear to my heart right now.
Good.
Growing up in Detroit, you know, you have this underdog mentality. You know, you root for the Red Wings, you root for the Tigers, you root for the Lions, you root for the Pistons, no matter what. That's just what you do. That's what we do. It's none of this I'm rooting for my favorite player stuff. You root for your team, you know. All those years, Rex, that I played in Chicago, my family would root for the Pistons. You know, my mom and dad would be like, well, son, I hope you play well. But you know what? You know, I just love Isaiah. I just love Joe Dumars. And I respected that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I respected that because all of my family, they wanted tickets to come cheer against me. You know what I mean? And but that's what you do in Detroit. Did they represent? That is the city of Detroit. You know, it's one thing about Detroit. We may lose the game that we like to say up there, but we're not going to lose the fight. And, you know, and Rex, you played against those teams.
Yeah.
You knew you had to play with a certain level of toughness. And when you say a team that really represented the city and how the people felt about themselves, they're the underdog and we're tough and we're going to fight. And if we win the game, great. But we're going to win this fight. We're not going to lose both. So, you know, Detroit is so influential on all of us. You know, when I see Jalen Rose, everyone's repping Detroit. I don't have my Detroit stuff on today. But every single day, it drives my family crazy. My kids are like, Dad, Detroit, they're not winning. Why won't you root for them? No, I'm from Detroit. So that's what you do up there. And that's the greatest logo in sports, that Tigers.
Yeah.
That's the greatest logo. So we love Detroit, but no, put it bluntly, we love the Pistons. And, you know, Cade Cunningham
the way
and those
up.
Guys. Yeah, that's what Cade Cunningham and those guys. We're back. We're back now. So that's what we do.
You know, we're both from Kentucky and cities that are in some way maligned or states that you know, we're known as like hillbillies and whatnot. And Detroit was known for a long time. It's on the come up, but as a decaying city, a has-been city, even if you look at places, like say, even it's a great city, but Boston always feels like New York light or not Chicago, you know, and these fan bases really get into their sports teams because it represents them and they're like shows that we're right. proud to be, you know, yes, that we're yes. proud to be where we're from. And like, I went to school at Auburn and I was friends with a lot of the players and whatnot. And I went to every game and cheered and loved it. But when Kentucky came, I came with the gear. I mean, oh, it was, no, I don't care.
I get it. You got to have it. I get it. I understand it. And, you know, we're the underdog. And yep. you know what? Mm-hmm. People say they're tough times. We're like, where? This is Detroit. Like, like where? What happened? You know, there's a pandemic. We're like, what? Where? Where is it happening? You know what I mean? You know, Detroit's declining. We're like, where? You know, we're fine. We're good. What's wrong? What are you guys reporting? So, you know, my parents still live in Detroit. They're not leaving. And my family, they're like, oh, Detroit's fine. I was like, are you guys going to? No, man, Detroit's good. When are you coming back home?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I won't stay on this topic too long. Josh just showed his shirt. But, Josh, can you believe the Iowa Hawkeyes? They got beat in the first round this year. Can you believe Iowa Hawkeyes did? They were a high seed.
Yeah.
And they got beat in the first round. In the very first round. Yeah. Wait, did we get
Hold
beat
on.
Too?
In
the first Yeah. I don't want to bring that up.
Dang it. Nice try, Rex. Nice try.
You know what, Rex? The best part this year about watching the NCAA tournament was watching you on TV. You know what? Yeah, it was great. Because you know what? It was you, Candace, and you know, Candace from Chicago. And but you look great. You look great.
Thanks, bro. Well, I looked great, but also declared Pete Gillen dead live on air. And
you know, I thought it was an inside joke. I didn't get it. It was great.
I confused him with Skip Prosser, who did pass away. But anyway, you know, stuff happens.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
I said, don't spend 14, 15 years of your life on drugs. You won't forget those things.
In retrospect, it was the greatest moment of the broadcast. It's like, it's like getting the baseball card that's wrong with the reprint and it's the most valuable one. That moment was like, oh my God, that was fantastic.
Hey, BJ, I gotta ask this. So like I was trying to think last night of whose game, you know, we played in an era where you would, at our size, we got posted up.
Right.
And they don't do that anymore. I try to think about, man, today's game where you can't really touch people. It was, I would have liked to play it in it, but it was tailor-made for you. When I think about your game, you're sort of like CJ McCollum.
Right.
Can really shoot it, get to your spot, all of that stuff. When was the first time you realized you were special with a basketball in your hand?
Well, you know, Rex, growing up, I never thought of it as being better. I grew up in Detroit and there were just players everywhere.
Yeah, there were.
There were just players. Like, you know, we would play and, you know, you would, you know, like Magic, you know, I remember as a kid, you would go and you watch Magic and you go, man, there's no way. And then, you know, Isaiah came, you're like, oh my gosh. And then Joe Dumars came, you're like, oh man. And then George Gervin was from there and all of these guys. And you were like, there's no way. So the humility of thinking that I was special, you know, I remember like watching these guys, Dave Bing and all of these going, oh man, you know, Spencer Haywood. And my dad was talking about that. And they were just players. It just seemed like they were just players. And, you know, Terry Mills and Glenn Rice and all those guys from Flint and, you know, the late Roy Marble, they were just players everywhere. Mark Macon. So for me to think that I was special, it never occurred to me. What I did want to do was I just wanted to go out and show that I could play with those guys. You know, Isaiah Thomas and those guys from the Pistons, when they were young, they would come down into the city. There's a place called St. Cecilia. I'm sure you've heard of it, Rex. World-renowned little gym. It's literally a gym, and the wall is the out of bounds. It's like a little gym. But that's where you play. And all I wanted, Rex, was to get the respect of my peers who played down there. That's all I wanted, Rex. The NBA was like, that was just icing on the cake. I just wanted to be able to play there to represent that I could play in the summertime with these guys, because if you couldn't play there, Rex, you had no chance of doing anything else. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there was a level of toughness that you had to play with. And that's all I wanted, right? That's so to think I was great or good, it never occurred to me, because every day you could, you know, there was somebody waiting on the sideline that could take you out.
You're a Michigan kid who ends up at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Was it hurtful that the Michigan and Michigan State didn't come at you as hard, or did they?
Well, Michigan and Michigan State did.
Okay.
To be honest with you, Rex, I just wasn't good enough. You know, they had a young guard over at Michigan State by the name of Scott Skiles. Yeah. And as he elegantly put in my recruiting visit, if you come here, just be prepared to sit on the bench for the next 3 years.
That's my guy.
You know, Scott is my guy, and we laugh about it now, but Scott was like,
not much of a recruiter.
Yeah, he was like, hey, you come here, you're going to be on the bench for the next 3 years, okay? So it's fair to say, every time I saw him in college, you know what I tried to do. And then they had Gary Grant, Antoine Joubert, Roy Tarpley, and those guys. And they were like, they told me flat out, hey, we love for you to come, but you're going to have to redshirt.
Wow.
So, you know, that's how good they were.
But you were a little, kind of like me coming out at 18. You were slight and you probably weren't the only people who said, you know, he could use a year of maturity.
Absolutely. So I couldn't disagree. My feelings were hurt. Of course.
You know what
I mean? My feelings were hurt, but I had to find a place that was right for me. And George Raveling at the time recruited me there and thought I had a chance and gave me an opportunity. And I went and played at Iowa with the same chip I had on my shoulder, playing how I would play every day in the city of Detroit. So, but I was in the Big Ten. I got a chance to play against those teams, and it was a great fit for me. So it all worked out in the end. But I remember, I mean, Scott, that was funny at Michigan State. it was great. I was stunned. I remember Coach Izzo was looking like, what are you saying? Judd Heathcote was the coach there.
I could see it.
He was so brutally honest. Yeah. You know, as only Scott can. You know, it was great. Uh-huh. And I love Scott. You know, he's a great friend over the years. And then Michigan, they were good. And Antoine Joubert was the number one player in the country. Gary Grant, you know, was an elite defensive player at that particular time. Roy Tarpley, you know, he was right. And so I can't be mad at it.
The judge and the general.
The judge,
that's our time, man.
The judge, that's what they call them. They were like, "Man, you can't go there. You'll never play." I was like,
the "Judge, no question, no Absolutely. Question." Hey, you still have the record at your high school for 51 in a game. At Brother Rice. Now that's before the three, correct?
I didn't play with the three, Rex.
I didn't either.
I didn't play with the three in high school. I didn't play with the three. I think like my sophomore, junior year in college.
That's when it was my freshman year, and you were one
grade
ahead.
Yeah. I was one year. I think it's your 1 year ahead. You know, I'm old enough, Rex. I can't remember anything anymore. You know what I mean?
I think we're probably the same age.
Hey, who's counting? You know what I mean? Who's counting?
Would you have that night if they had a
It was 70? Just a different 70. Game. It was a 70. Different game. But you know what? I would say this. You know, Rex, you were very kind in saying me. And I always, and it's funny to hear you say that. I always say, if I was playing today, CJ McCullough is the guy.
His shooting, he's not a crazy athlete, right?
Yeah,
he's not a crazy athlete. But he gets wherever he goes. He's slippery. There's no wasted moment. Footwork. He's efficient with his dribble. But his shooting sets him apart. Your shooting, BJ, at that, you know, you'd be shooting 10 threes, 12 threes a game now.
Well, Rex, I want to say this, though. If you were playing it today, you already had the mentality in the 80s. Everybody's talking about the 90s. No, when I saw this guy, Rex, you know, I can't remember what Coach told me. He goes, that guy has the conscience of a rattlesnake. I was like, what does that mean? They was like, you know what he's going to do when he gets it. Rex was doing, hey, Rex was before. Rex was
I invented the bad shot.
Rex, the guy, you know, it wasn't even a 3-point line, but I always respected the fact that this guy had so much confidence and he was doing it with, he was doing it with like distance. Like Rex had like a, you know, when you watch Steph Curry now, you go, oh man, look how his footwork, he turns in. Well, Rex was doing that in the 80s. Rex is coming off a down screen and that thing was going up. Rex, this game today, your game, all jokes aside, was tailor-made. You were shooting threes in the 80s and we didn't even have the 3-point line. No, seriously, Rex, you were so far ahead of your time, man, in the way they play. So if you were playing today, Rex, I mean, you would have had some 50-point games for sure.
If he thinks, and you think a good comparison for you, CJ, who today do you think would Rex compare to?
You know what? Rex's mentality is watching Klay Thompson's mentality.
Oh, come on.
No, Rex. I never saw you lose confidence. I'm sure somewhere.
I did. I remember it. Somebody saying one time, I was like 0-for-9 at halftime. And I was like, I might be on fire. I don't even know yet.
who was doing that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're 0-for-9, right? My first instinct is like, man, I got to find something else to do. Rex is
I got to tell you this story real quick. I think Josh knows this. About a month ago, and this is, I'd never heard it articulated this way, but if you remember, 6 weeks ago, Stephen had a game, Curry, and he was playing really bad, like couldn't make a shot. And a ball was going out of bounds near half court toward their goal, toward the goal they were going to. And instead of saving it into a teammate, he just turned and shot it almost from, and it went in. Yeah. And I sent him a text message and said, you're ridiculous. And after the game, he sent back, you know, Rex, sometimes you got to manifest your own confidence.
Well,
Rex,
what can I say? Like, listen, you could shoot.
And then he started making shots.
Yeah. No, Rex. I mean, you were, you know, Klay Thompson, that guy there, that thing's gone. I mean, Rex, that's you. That thing's gone. And I'm going to say, you could shoot.
Maybe on that end. The other end, he's got me beat by quite a bit.
As a player, I can shoot a little
bit. Thanks,
bro. But I'm going to tell you, watching Steph Curry, Rex, I don't know what you feel about it.
Yeah.
Watching Steph Curry, I'm simply amazed.
Me too.
I'm really amazed at his shot-making ability in all phases of the game. Right?
And off the dribble.
Off the dribble. Left hand, right hand. You know, I can, you know, for you, like, I just remember how quickly you could come down off that down screen and turn. You know, you like, I don't know how you're doing it, right? And we all have our things that we do.
Yeah.
His ability to do this off the dribble, off the pass, off the catch, off a screen roll, transition, down screen. It's like incredible to watch. It really
It really is.
You were a pro. You were an elite shooter. But to watch him, you're going, There's a whole nother level to it.
Well, it's like we watch sometimes. I think Klay's done it, and Stephen's definitely done it, where they just have a camera on them shooting in the practice gym, where they make like 85 out of 100 threes or shoot and make 40 in a row. I couldn't do that, man. My shot was not like that. Like, I could get hot and make some, but if I'm going to shoot 100 threes, I'm going to make maybe, I don't know, 50. I don't know. It's just, and you said it right. The guys today, that's the one thing I notice about the game and the players is that, and we all knew it, but the game was still younger. These guys can do so much with their offhand now.
Yeah.
You know, if I was going to the basket, goal's here, I'm going to jump probably off my left foot and shoot it back this way with my right hand. Now they just right foot, left hand. They're also ambidextrous and skilled.
Yes, they are.
And the other thing that I thought I want to get your take on it. Like us growing up for many years, and I don't know if they still do it, but it was take what the defense gives you.
Right.
And now they do that, but they also have prepackaged moves. hit him with the thing. And then, I mean, we didn't have that, did we? Not really.
Well, you know what? The game is, it's a different game. But you know what I love about this difference in the game? It always reverts back to the game that you and I and the previous generation recognize once it gets to the playoffs. All those prepackaged things don't work. It always comes back to, you know, the essence or the fundamentals of the game, which is you have to defend, you have to rebound, and you have to pass the ball. But the regular season, Rex, is fun because, I mean, Rex, I've never seen so many guys just get the ball, dribble up, and shoot a three. Well, you did that, Rex.
You better make it.
You better make it. Now you're doing it, and the coach is like, good shot. So the freedom in which these guys are playing with at the distance, because Rex, you know, there was a time where we grew up in the era where you played inside out.
Yeah.
Now it's outside. Oh, you shot a two? What's up with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, God, somebody shot a layup. Oh, what's going on? You know?
I know.
You know, a 3-on-2 fast break, that's a three now. A 2-on-1, that's a three now.
They run to the corners.
They run. So it's just a different era, and I respect it, but I love when it gets back to the playoffs, it always goes back. It always reverts back. Yeah, because you have to value the ball. And, you know, watching Bones Highland, for instance, the other night in Denver, I was like, oh, and he made it, and I couldn't say anything. But I was like, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
But it's just a game today.
But it is interesting to see. It is, you know, that's why the playoffs are so fun, because they're all dialed in at the same time, and it's great. But you do still see, I've seen so many times these almost logo threes in every game, not just Trey and Steph, you know, you see Luka's shooting them out there, and it's used to be like, oh, now it's normalized almost in like 2 years, you know, and Rex came up with the best phrase. Good. You know what I'm talking about? Rex, we were talking about kids. He was like, you know, he said, just great. He said, he can get to the bat. He's a three level scorer. Oh, yeah. And Rex said, oh yeah, that guy's great. He's a four level scorer. Like,
we're going to have to add a level for guys like Stephen and Trey Young that can actually shoot it from half court. Oh, they're a four level scorer, right?
You know, it's like half court. We need a 4-point shot now, the way these guys are, playing, you know?
You know, the thing that remember is like, oh, you better check him the second he checks into the game. That's how it is. You literally got it at half court. You can't let a couple of these guys stand out there and size one up. You were a rookie in 89 or 90?
89.
Yeah. What was your welcome to the NBA moment? Do you have one you can think of?
My welcome to the moment was the travel. I could not believe.
Yeah.
Because we travel commercial. It was like, you know, in college, we would get on a bus, go to a little charter plane and go.
Yep.
And when I got to the pros, it was like, okay, guys, here are the cab companies that we know are reliable. Yep. Okay. And you're like, huh?
And you're in Chicago too.
Yeah. So
I mean, this is an airport deal. Yeah. It's a whole traffic deal.
And my NBA moment. This is, I don't know why I can remember this moment vividly. So I can still remember the cab company. I don't know if they're still around. It was called American Taxi.
Okay.
They guaranteed that they were going to be there in 20 to 30 minutes. And as you know, Rex, time was an issue.
Yes, it was.
It was always an issue, right? You're always in a hurry.
Yep.
So I was in the cab. I get to the airport and you have to check yourself in.
Yeah.
Think about this now. You have to check yourself in. And back then, Rex, you had
you
to carry
your own gear.
You carried your own shoes. You had to carry at least two pairs of shoes because if hey Rex, if one broke or something, you know, you remember that. And I'll never forget this. My first trip, we're going to Utah. We were playing the Jazz, and the equipment manager, Mark File, I can still remember their names and everything. He was waiting at the airport to hand us our uniforms. So think about this. So I come up, I check in, and Mark Files there. Hey, number 10, here's your uniform. Bill Cartwright. And he's handing your uniform to you in the airport. And here's Jordan. Fans coming behind him. And he's like, here, Michael, here's your uniform. Okay. Gate 35. And so we're walking through the airport. And I was like, you know, that wasn't part of the NBA. No one prepared me for it. But, you know, it's cool. Hey, I don't want to be, you know, the guy that's like coming from the end or whatever. So how cool, you know? And I remember, and I'm sure you remember this, in Utah, the arena, the Salt Lake Palace, the Marriott
right across
or something,
the street.
Was right across the street.
Yeah.
And I remember there was no room service. And my pregame meal was Denny's before I'm about to guard like John
right
Stockton. So first of all, I got to walk to the game. I'm eating Denny's. That's my pregame meal. And I'm in the NBA as a rookie.
Wow.
And I was like, something is wrong here. What is going on?
That's so great.
And John Stockton, you know, he crushes everyone. And I realized I got to do something different. The Denny's wasn't cutting it. The Salt Lake Palace wasn't cutting it. And I had to figure it out. But I'm glad,
man,
I can laugh about it. But I remember that moment. It started off bad.
I remember those days. One of the funniest things I can ever remember happening along those shoe lines. I was playing in, you had to bring your own shoes to the game. Mm-hmm. And we were in Houston one night, and our center, I was playing with Washington, and our center, Kevin Duckworth, rest in peace, Duck. Mm-hmm. Duck, he gets completely dressed. He gets taped. I'm sitting next to him. We're getting ready to go out and do the pre-shoot, you know, just kind of go get loose. And looks down, puts his left shoe on, goes to put his right shoe on, and he's got two left shoes.
Oh,
and he just goes crazy. Like, ball boy, I need you to go back to the hotel. Get, and somebody on our team said, Doug, just put the other shoe on. And he said, shit, I'll be running around in circles all night. The NBA playoffs mean next level basketball. Get ready for all the action by betting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets instantly. You clinch a win no matter what. All DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also bet on NBA hoops with same game parlay. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. Plus, for each day, get a risk-free bet up to $10 if your same-game parlay doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Rex Chapman. Bet $5 on any NBA team and get $150 in free bets instantly. That's promo code Rex Chapman at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. There's another story that I want to tell, and I will let people. We were in town to play you guys.
Okay.
And this would have been on the same, similar Bullets team. And we had practice shoot around at Moody Bible. Okay. Little bitty Moody Bible gym. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no bigger than a high school gym.
Right.
And we're in there. And right at the end of shoot around, Jim Lynham brings us in, going to get it in. And he points up. He said, guys, it's the game tonight is going to be one on the boards right up there. And one of our teammates said, we're playing here. We all looked at him and said, what? He said, we're playing here tonight at Moody Bible. Man, shoot around is over. We're running around the gym laughing.
You know what, Rex?
And we're trying to win games with that man.
Whoever that is, I apologize for laughing. You know what, Rex?
You know who it is. And even if I said his name right now, you'd be like, he'd be all right with it. Let's fast forward. Let's talk a little bit about these playoffs.
Okay.
First of all, what about the Nets? Their collapse. What do you make of them right now?
Well, right now, Rex, you know, it's easy to start blaming people, right? You know, mm-hmm. KD did not play well. I think he would be the first to admit it. You know, I can't recall watching KD play bad in consecutive games like this. I don't think ever.
Yeah.
Especially in high pressure moments. So, I mean, I think KD will say, hey, he's got to figure out whatever he needs to figure out. I think Kyrie and his absence throughout the season, you know, he was just very inconsistent and he wasn't available to his team. And as great of a talent as he is, and I am as guilty as anyone, I still was intrigued. I was like,
same.
You know, I was like, you're like, because you see the talent and you're going, I just got to watch to make sure, because you don't see talents like Kyrie often, right? No, you know what I mean? And the talent, you're going, just maybe, let me just watch. But when you're not consistent and you're not playing and you're not getting that those reps in
with your teammates,
it's impossible. So
yeah,
as a former athlete, as a former professional, you know, I got to say, you know what? What could you really expect? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you put in the fact of whatever's going on with Ben Simmons. Okay. Whatever is going on. And we both know the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason right now, right? I'm sure at some point we will eventually find out he's got something going on. And the thing, Rex, about him that I will say is this is the first time really in my adult life that in talking to people, I'm sure like yourself, you know, younger people, older people, people our age, this is the first time where all the generations can agree on one thing. Something is going on with Ben Simmons and it's affecting our business now. That's the one. Young people see it. The older generation see it. Our generation, who's not, you know, maybe we're 15, 20 years removed, see it. And I think this current generation sees it. This is going to affect us in a profound way.
Yeah.
This moment in time here. Why? Is because, Rex, the game was built off of performance. That's the bottom line in this business, right? Doesn't matter whether or not you play well, you play bad, and you and I have had our moments of both.
Speak to that a little bit, because MJ kind of set this for us. And, you know, if he was playing and he played every night,
yes,
you got no excuse. If you're available, you better play.
And that was the mentality. I mean, Rex, whether or not you play well or play bad is not the issue. Showing up, that's how you got the respect of your peers. You got the respect. And that's the one thing, Rex, I prided myself on is I showed up. Rex, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted to play against the best players to see what was going on. Like, what made this guy? Like, who is this guy, Rex Chapman? From Kentucky. I wanted to see for myself. You know what I mean? So now it seems to be a different mentality. But I would hope that these players could find, you know, the things to say, okay, Bill Russell had to play through a different set of circumstances than you and I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
The stat that still amazes me is the Wilt Chamberlain stat, which is the late Wilt Chamberlain. He played in every minute of every game plus overtime for a full season in Converse cons. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Great.
Like,
wow.
Okay. I was just like, that's an amazing thing. You know, we flew commercial.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have charters, and you and I, you know, we caught that at a certain age in our career, but the meal plans, I didn't have a trainer in the off season working on my moves.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Same.
So my question is, what's going on here that's not allowing these players to perform? Because without the performance, there's no league.
Yeah.
And that's a real issue because it's affecting our bottom line, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we have paying customers, we have the game itself, and we have to protect those two because they go hand in hand, right? The business and the game, they have to meet at a happy medium where people won't remember who won the game between Rex and BJ, but what they will remember, man, they went after each other that night. Remember that game? Oh, man, that's what makes this NBA great. And we're not saying that anymore.
Yeah.
Rex, we're not saying these guys are just going at it. You know, I played in, you know, that Piston Bulls rivalry. We had to beat those teams and they had to beat the Celtics and then the Lakers.
And Lakers.
That's what made this league great. And that's my mantra to this generation. Yeah, you're a great individual talent, but figure out how to be a great, put your talent into a great team, because that's what makes this league the best league in the world.
I don't doubt, you're right, BJ. And I don't doubt that, you know, everything that we know, you know, if the more rest you get, the better you're going to play. You can probably play longer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're taking 15 games off a year, because just to rest, how it has to affect your team's performance. And so, yeah, you might these starved guys might play a little longer. But
Rex, here's the science of that. There's no way for us to improve if we don't practice or play.
Yeah.
Okay, Rex, there's no way for us. There's no way that when I watch Rex Chapman shoot, okay, you had to practice that. That's just not you showing up.
Yeah.
You put in the time, the effort, and the energy necessary to be able to play like that. There's no way for your team to be good. And that's what the Brooklyn Nets displayed to me. There's no way around it. The only way we can be the very best, because this is the very best league.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put in the time. When I watch Giannis and you watch Giannis,
mm-hmm.
he's a phenomenal player. But let me tell you something. The effort and the energy that this man provides on a nightly basis.
Every day. Yeah.
That to me is deserving of more than respect, because I know how hard it is to bring that energy every night. And it's not like he's playing against one-on-one coverage. He's playing against a team. Okay.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what makes him special, is that man gives the effort and the energy. And when you see someone do that over and over and over again, that's called talent. Okay. Anybody can have a good night.
Yeah.
Rex Chapman did not have good night shooting. Rex Chapman did that on a nightly basis, because my scouting report for you was stay home.
No airspace.
Okay. Yeah. That's what a pro is. That's why it's professional sports. So that's my
I think you made a great point. And as you know, and I went through it, I played on some bad teams initially.
Oh, we all have.
There's a difference in being a pro and making money. You can be a pro and make money and not be professional.
That's right. Right. That's right. That's right.
You got to put the time in. You got to figure out what your routine is. For me, and I know for you, rhythm. You know, if I turn an ankle on Monday and I'm going to play on Saturday, I definitely haven't done any shooting that week.
Right.
I might come in and make a couple. I'm going to be tired. Yeah, I'm going to fight being tired the whole game, maybe the next game. And so you're always fighting. You're always fighting your fatigue.
That's right.
Basketball is a game. You cannot play well if you are not in shape to play the game.
That's a secret. Come on, Rex. That's a secret.
So BJ, not long after you left the league, you were still in basketball,
mm-hmm.
Providing commentary for ESPN and a number of prominent platforms. What's changed your perception of how the league's covered from your time to playing to being an analyst?
You know, Rex, that's a great question. And the thing that has really changed more is things are being reported in real time. It's happening now. You know, hey, man, I heard such and such is going to write a story that's coming out tomorrow. And you'd be like, what? What's going on? You know, and I was like, ooh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, talk radio got restarted reporting like 2 or 3 hours later, you know, in the evening show or the morning show. And then now things are happening now. You know, you're getting it two seconds later.
You know
what I mean? So that's the difference. I don't know what the effect is of that, because, you know, I didn't have to deal with that. I don't know anything. I didn't grow up with social media. I didn't grow up with PCs or something when I was a kid. I didn't grow up with a cell phone and so forth and so on. So I don't really know. I'm observing it.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to say, well, what I hear, because I didn't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I would respond. But I do know that this social media is impacting these kids in some way. that I don't think I'm qualified to really speak on, but right. I can't observe that since, you know, I retired, and you can see what's going on because these guys are spending a lot of time on social media.
And
it's meaningful to them. It may not be meaningful to me, but it's meaningful to them.
Right.
So what that's so, because you've got such a broad perspective as a elite player, an all-star, a champion, front office to broadcasting, and now you're an agent. How, as an agent, does all that stuff affect you, and how do you have to handle your clients differently, or how do you have to talk them or get them to ignore that sometimes? Like, what do you have to say to them?
I wish I had the answers. You know, I really did. I wish I could, like, hear and tell you, you know, what's the right thing to do. But what I can say is the following. What I'm seeing is the effects of it. And I can only tell you what I see. When these young people make a decision to come into the NBA, 1 year removed, some of them are going different routes now, whether it's overtime elite or the G League or what have you. And then they go to college maybe for 6 or 7 months. They have this idea that I'm going to the league.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Rex and I can tell you the following after playing in that league and being around this league, that what you think is going on is different from how it is. But try telling that to a 19-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And what I can tell you is the following. You make this decision to come in, and this is your dream. Your dream, your whole life, is to get to the NBA. Suddenly you get to the NBA, and it's not what you think, because there's a component to it that no one ever prepares you for, and it's called the business of sports. And when these young people get here and they suddenly realize that there's a business component to this, many of them don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because now many of them who have been the best player their entire life, they're not prepared for the business of someone saying, BJ, and I'm sure this happened to Rex. Mm-hmm. Rex was a star. I saw this man in high school. This man was a star. BJ went to Iowa, star player. Suddenly, when I got to the NBA, I had to make a business decision and say, if I'm not comfortable being a role player, I'm going to be out of here.
Okay? That's right.
And the business of sports, if you're not prepared for this, it'll ruin you. And what I'm seeing is, when you're 19 and you're still trying to find out who and what you're going to be or what you could be, you don't have enough experience to make that business decision yet.
Yeah. You used to have a resume. You used to have to have a bit of a resume.
You got to find out. And you used to you would come in and say, this is how this could translate to the next level or translate to the NBA. And what I'm seeing is these young people come in. They're incredibly talented. They have talent.
Yeah.
But how do you incorporate that talent into this business? Because as Rex knows, and as I know, and people who play in this business, sometimes the best players don't always get a chance to show and be the best players because of circumstances. And many of us, probably 90% of us, don't have the talent to affect the bottom line. And everybody knows, if you don't win in this league, you get fired, you get traded. And that's the thing that I don't think our young people are prepared when they come up here. So the effects of that, I wish I had the answer.
Yeah.
I know it's a long-winded answer.
No.
But I think it's the truth. It's just, how do we prepare these young people for the business? Because we don't talk about it. It's great. I tell every client that I work with now, if you want to stay up here, if you want to have a career in the NBA, turn off the TV.
Because this
is entertainment now. I mean, this is entertainment.
Yeah.
Rex and I were very fortunate. When we came into this league, it was about sports and it was about basketball.
Yeah.
Now there's an entertainment component to this business.
I can remember when they started doing, you know, it became a mandate. When I first came in, sometimes we didn't have a halftime show.
No,
there was none of that. There was no cheerleaders in Charlotte. There was none of that. And then Now it's a show. Now it's
this is entertainment.
I've often said, BJ, you made a great point. It's never been easier to go pro. That's what everybody wants to do. Go pro, go pro, go pro. The object is not to go pro.
Yes,
the
that's
object
right.
is to stay pro.
Yes.
It's to stay pro.
Man, and, great point.
And last for as long as your body can last. But if that's you come right. out, you can come in, and if you're basketball ready, you can figure out some of the business right. stuff. If you're not basketball ready right. to a certain degree where you can be put in the game, if you can be put in the game and hold your own, okay. But if you can't do that for a 18, 19, 20-year-old to then be like, they sent me to the G League, and you're not having success in the G League, which can happen because those right. guys are great good. Players.
That's right.
You know, the object is to stay pro. You don't want to be done at 23. You want to be done that's at 33.
There you go. So right? well put, Rex. And you know what? I got to get you in to talk to our clients yeah. and the player, love Rex. To. I love the fact, very well put. I mean, that's the object, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
The object is not to get to the NBA. The object is to stay here,
stay there,
and have yeah. a career. So very yeah. well put.
Stay, and stay there and have a career. And maybe look at us. I mean, we're 30, 20 years removed, but we're still in basketball. No, we're still in basketball. And that's what a blessing to be
man.
We've done this our whole lives. But if we'd come in and just flamed right out, the chances this of us still being here and doing all this stuff is probably not a good shot.
I want to know, because we talked about your welcome to NBA moment. You got a welcome to Mike moment. Welcome to Michael.
Welcome to Michael moment. God, so many welcome to Michael.
So many. But
it's, you know, all right. I will only say this to Rex. I know Rex understands this. You didn't pass out like, this guy is great. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
that's right.
You didn't pass that out. Okay. All right. That guy's good, but he's yeah. got to show me he's good. You know what I mean? Like when I listen to people talk about Michael now, it's like, you know, the thing I respect about him is he took that challenge on every night.
He did. But also, you know, like I wasn't going to, I played in the same era. I played the same position. There was no way. I was going to ever admit to anybody that he was better than me.
Yeah, that's what I respect. So, you know what? Like, Michael had problems with a certain player. Anyone who could catch and shoot.
And run screens.
And run around screens.
He hated chasing screens.
Because he was a ball watcher. You know,
he gambled all the time.
And you got to stay home on Rex. So, Rex... And Dale Curry and yeah. Jeff Malone's and
yeah.
Mitch, anybody can Hornacek. Do that. Hornacek, Hersey Hawkins, because Michael's he's trying to get in the passing lane, and all of a sudden Rex is and Rex, I don't know what, but I bet you Rex has had some good games against those teams.
Oh yeah, but y'all won most of the time.
Yeah, but my moment is we played. Like three games and four nights or four games and five nights or something. And we were on a West Coast road trip. And I remember we would practice. I mean, we would play. And this guy was playing 35, 40 minutes. And I was just amazed his ability to practice. I mean, to play and then come back and practice and play with the same energy that he did in the game. Now,
and maybe not much sleep.
No. Rex is being kind with no sleep. Okay. His true gift, Rex, as Rex knows, his true gift, which we don't want to say, but Rex can put it in kind. He can explain it. I'm just going to say it and let Rex explain it.
His true gift
if
was,
the man
was
would,
hanging
if,
out.
If he would have slept, we don't know how good he really would have been. He didn't see the best of Michael Jordan because he didn't sleep for, 14 years. Okay. Yeah. Literally. Wow. Literally, okay. I'm not like this isn't like a little sleep. He literally didn't sleep. So I was just my moment was watching him play 35, 40 minutes and then come to practice with the same energy.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute. Now this isn't normal. You know what? You know what stinks? We didn't show him practicing. He's the greatest. Okay, he might be the greatest player ever. I don't know who's the greatest, but he's certainly somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. He was the greatest practice player I've ever seen. I've never seen a guy practice this hard And that's what we should be showing the kids, because we're just showing them the games when the lights were on. This guy would, I've never seen someone this competitive and it's always on.
Yeah.
It's always on. And he always brings it. So my moment was in practice, and you realize
he's different.
Yeah, something is, because you're like, you know, I don't want to tell too much. You were like, I was at the same place he was at, and I'm a little tired today. Everybody else is a little tired. And then all of a sudden, when Phil Jackson would blow the whistle, this guy, like, he got like 10 hours of sleep. And you like, and he didn't eat.
Yeah.
So you got a guy who didn't sleep, he didn't eat, he's playing cards and whatever he's doing at night, you know what I mean? Let's keep it PG, you know? Hey, Rex, you know, do whatever happens.
Yep.
And the guy is playing as if like, and you're like, wait a minute, you just played 45 minutes the other night. And you're like, how?
All right, BJ, hey, what's your favorite movie ever?
Oh, The Godfather.
Okay.
Everything I need to learn about life was in that movie.
Just
the Godfather 1. You know what? When I have questions about life, I just put the movie on and go, oh, okay.
That's it.
That's it. That's my go-to. My favorite movie of all time. It's all the human drama. Everything that's wrong with us humans is in
there.
Right. That's my go-to.
What about you could have dinner, sit down dinner with anyone dead or alive?
Probably Nelson Mandela.
Okay. Mandela? That's our first Mandela,
I just like, you know, I love stories. I mean, that's why I love Rex. Rex is a great storyteller, right? Rex has always been a great storyteller. And I just, that story.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. That's why you want to, I just want to like, okay, explain that to me again. You know,
you did what to you.
Yeah. And you had the perseverance and the discipline to see this throughout that in the face of, you know, it's one thing to just, you know, to talk about it. You did it. I want to see the world from your eyes. And that would be fascinating. That would be a fascinating dinner if I could
for
have
sure.
that.
No
question. What about front row center for any group, any singer, any, you know, dead or alive too? Front row center.
Oh, that's Michael Jackson.
Okay, all right.
You know what?
We're that era.
I gotta have Michael Jackson, and I would say because I did it, I wanted to see Prince up close, and I pulled a lot of strings in Chicago. I wanted to be right there to see.
Right there.
I want to see an artist in his element, and it was the greatest.
Right.
2 hours to watch, and I was there. So if I could, I wish I could have done the same with Michael Jackson. Because you like, this guy was an entertainer. You know what I mean? Like there's like
one of one.
Yeah. So I love artists, right? And I don't care what you're doing, painting, whatever.
Yeah.
But to see that man work and just to be able to watch would have been like, oh man, that would have been
beautiful.
Yes, I'm
with you. BJ, thanks, bro. You got to come back and do this with
man,
us again.
Man, anytime. Thank you, Rex. You bring back a lot of stories, man. And hey, a lot of those stories, Rex, we can't share.
Yeah,
but you know what? Hey, hopefully they'll get to them. These guys are laughing a little bit too much.
All right,
guys,
BJ.
Thank you, man. All right, you guys be well. Appreciate it.
Thanks, bro. BJ Armstrong, what'd you think, buddy?
He was great. Makes me feel bad about myself, per usual.
Thanks.
I'd like to put our podcast up against any podcast as far as great shooters. I mean, we continue to have some of the best shooters of all time on this podcast. And the Curry, Dell Curry, Kerr, J.J. Redick,
James Jones,
Legler,
Steve Kerr, right?
Yeah, Steve Kerr.
Curry, Dell Curry. We got
that's
a pretty good
that's
Shaq.
Impressive.
Shaq.
Right. Well, He shot a lot. He did shoot a lot. He did. He made a lot too. His percentage was better than everyone.
Yep.
BJ. So that was just fun.
Yeah, yeah, he's amazing. What a smart guy. And he's got a big personality. Always got a smile on his face. But I was trying to think last night, who would be the comparison for BJ? And it is it's a bit CJ McCollum. BJ and CJ.
That was a great call. No, that was. That's a great call. That's a great call.
Well, Josh, that was BJ. I'm anxious to see what happens the rest of these playoffs. Let's meet up next week. You want to do this again?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right, buddy. That was episode 40 of the Rex Chapman Show with super cool Josh Hawkins, my super dope homeboy from the L Town, Lexington, Kentucky. Next week, same time, same place. Here, powered by basketballnews.com.